a down-to-the-wire game between your Houston Rockets and the Indiana Pacers. Unfortunately, the Rockets falling a tough loss in this one. Christian Wood dominant across the board in this game. Kevin Porter Jr. with the chance to tie things up in this one. The play drawn up for him and Jalen Green, but he was the one that took the shot down the stretch. Was it the right call for Kevin Porter Jr. in that moment? We're going to break it all down for you coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Well, the vibes were immaculate until they weren't. Joining us now to talk about this Rockets loss against the Indiana Pacers is none other than the social media manager for SB Nation's Dream Shake, as well as one of the hosts of the Rockets Safe Spaces on Twitter, Zeke, who you can follow on the Bird app at It's Just Zeke. That's It's with a Z. What's up, Zeke? How you doing, my guy?
I'm great, man. I love the shout out.
Hey, look, when you've been doing a show like this for as long as I have, you got to get really good at doing these intros and making sure you tee it up and get the guests brought in, and you got to hype up the listeners and all that. And that's what I'm trying to do here with you, because we got this game, Zeke, was a good game. Like, it was, and I don't want to call it the perfect game, because even though I caught myself like looking at the Pacers and looking at them as, yeah, they're another like lottery team, and this was kind of like the Magic, like, you know, not long ago, where the Rockets were playing them and you're thinking, oh man, like, it'd be really cool to like eke out the W. And I caught myself thinking, like, you know what, I really want the win in this one. Like, as the Rockets were up in the fourth quarter, the vibes were great, KJ drove in, had that big powerful dunk, and I caught myself thinking, you know what, I want them to win this game. Like, it was early in the fourth quarter, and unfortunately things kind of derailed from that point. And I think the big area of controversy after this game was the play to, I guess, you know, potentially win it all being drawn up by Steven Silas, an action involving Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green down the stretch of the fourth quarter. Very similar to the action that we saw all the way back in Washington, that wiper play with KPJ and Jalen Green that KPJ actually wound up winning the game on. But in this instance, KPJ had the ball. Jalen Green runs by, drop, you know, not even a full brush screen, really, just kind of runs past KPJ's man. KPJ drives it in and takes like a contested, like, baseline kind of midi. Not the greatest shot quality, unfortunately, but that's what they wanted. What did you think about that play and how it developed down the stretch of this game?
Man, I mean, for me personally, how I felt about that play is that, you know, when is that the stretch of the end of the game, like, you take what you can get, obviously. KPJ is not a mid-range god of any level. I mean, that is, should be restricted to Jalen Green. When a play breaks down, you know, you basically got to make the best of what you can get, right? My only thing about that is it's like KPJ was, like, hot in the third quarter, but in the fourth quarter, he shot 1-for-4. Jalen Green was actually playing better from that stretch. And then the part that kind of like bothers me a lot is like Christian Wood was going off in the third quarter and he only got to shoot the ball, let me check, I think it was like 4 times. So, like, you know, it's conflicting, but no, he didn't even shoot the ball 4 times. He only shot the ball once in the fourth. But then in the third, he shot the ball 13 times and made 10 with 12 points. So it kind of feels as if like there's a freezing out of sorts, but I mean, I'll live with the results is what I'm saying.
You know, it's tough for me because I walk away thinking, I'm not upset with the decision at all in that moment from KPJ. And specifically, right, we also heard from Steven Silas post game. He was, you know, he clarified exactly what he wanted in that moment. So I want to run that back really quick.
Oh, yeah, that's what we wanted. We wanted Scoop going to his left hand. We wanted Jalen to create a wake from the drive. If we could hit Jalen for him to drive, we'd hit him. If not, Jalen, Scoot could go downhill. I thought he got a good look at the rim.
You know, and in that moment, as Steven Silas alluded to, right, he wanted Jalen to kind of create a way for KPJ to drive. And if you go back and if you remember or look at that play, mm-hmm, the way that it developed, it to me, it looked like KPJ saw that he had a window before Jalen really started to even set the screen for KPJ, right, in that moment. Because it was that wiper action. We've seen it play out a lot this season for the Rockets. Shout out to Ali Kambajani, who's been on this show to break down that, you know, that sequence, that action, and what it involves for the Rockets. But KPJ took off before Jalen even set the screen. So I think KPJ in that moment thought he had the advantage, thought he had, you know, the defender and was going to get, you know, the defender on his heels and just take off towards the rim and get an easy two, be it in the mid-range or at the cup. But credit to the Pacers defense, they recovered. They got the block shot on him. It was credited as a block. And, you know, it just unfortunately didn't go his way. But I think the important part to remember here is this play was drawn up for KPJ and or Jalen Green, right? And in that, right, moment, KPJ decided to take the ball, but I think that's what people are kind of taking exception to, because Jalen had a really strong fourth quarter. He had the missed three-pointer, and then he got the rebound, went back up and got the layup at the cup, and then drove it in a possession later with a really strong finish at the rim. Jalen started the game 1 of 5 and then finished the game with, what did he finish with? 20 points on 6 of 15 shooting. Like, he, right, worked his way back into the game, even though the three ball wasn't falling. And so I think that was some of the frustration too, is maybe Jalen should have been the guy to have the ball in his hands down the stretch instead of Kevin Porter Jr.
No, exactly. I mean, it is what it is. Because, you know, KBJ kind of made himself in this season to be the fourth quarter guy. He's had a lot of strong
fourth quarter Porter.
Yeah, perfect. I never even thought of that one. That's a great one. But, you know, like, he has, like, shown so much, like, strength in the fourth quarter in this season that it's just like, okay, fourth quarter, do whatever you want, right? It's just that we also know, like, to have fourth quarter Porter, you can also have, like, a horrible fourth quarter Porter, right? That is just how basketball is. It's just a game of variance, right? And that play kind of reminds me of the Nuggets game that we had earlier in the season, where, like, they didn't draw up that same play. But remember, Porter kind of, like, drove in, and then he thought he could take advantage of Jokic trying to play drop coverage. And instead of just, like, you know, driving in a little deeper and hoping that the defense collapsed so the weak side he could pass it out, he took a mid-range jump shot with, like, 14 seconds left. And people are looking at it like, come on, man, you know, that's just the shot he had to take. I'm not mad at it. But, you know, for people who are, like, shot quality people or just understand, like, how basketball works in defense, sometimes you can sit down there and say, yeah, there's 14 seconds left in the shot clock. There's more things you're able to do. 14 seconds is like an eternity in basketball. So, I mean, those are just the things that come with KPJ. Again, I'm not mad at it. I wish we won. But every loss is a W for us, because we're trying to secure the top five odds. Well, not odds, but top five in the draft. Because, you know, if you lose, if you don't secure that, then, and we get second in the worst column, we can get the sixth seed, the sixth spot. Worst can be sixth in the draft, I mean.
Yeah, with the way that the lottery odds work, if the Rockets are the worst team in the association, just like last season, the lowest that their pick can be in this year's draft is number 5. And hey, there's no pick swap with OKC this year, so there's no sweat in the brow of is it going to swap all the way down to, you know, the late teens area. But we do have to talk about Christian Wood as well, because in those final moments, as you alluded to, right, one shot for Christian Wood down the stretch of this game is almost unacceptable, right? Because
it's unforgivable.
We've seen at times where Jalen's having a good night and he gets frozen out at the end. We've seen KPJ have a good night and maybe he gets frozen out at the end. And we should rightfully be just as upset if Christian Wood, having one of the best games of his career, gets frozen out at the end of this game with as good as he was playing. So we're going to talk about Christian Wood and his masterclass performance coming up in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. Because look, it's that time of year again. We got March Madness in full swing. And you know that the number one place that's going to have you covered for that is Bet Online. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season, and it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. So head to the website today or use a mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Now, continuing on talking about this unfortunate loss against the Pacers for the Houston Rockets, in a game in which we saw Christian Wood arguably have one of the best games of his career, just a, you know, not even a week removed from the, well, a couple weeks removed, I should say, from the best game of his career against the Memphis Grizzlies, where he was just dominant on both ends of the floor, gave you a glimpse at the version of Christian Wood that makes you maybe think he has a future here in Houston past this current contract. And we got another glimpse at that in this game specifically. Seawood popping off for 32 points, 11 of 14 shooting, 4 of 6 from behind the three-point line, with 6 of 8 at the charity stripe. I will take 75% from Christian Wood. I will take that number. Also had 13 boards, a career high, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks in his 34 minutes of run. Zeke, what was going through your mind watching this Christian Wood masterclass, especially in the third quarter when he really started to take over this game?
Man, the first thing that came to my mind, I said, you know what? Christian Wood is T-posing on the Pacers. This is immaculate, right? And then another part of my mind said, oh, Bias Houston's about to make every single person write an apology form for this man. I said, oh, hell no. You can't have this man get away with this. This man, listen, Christian Wood, I don't mind him. But the way William always comes in here and caves for him, that's an illness, man. I pray for that boy. But to be honest, no, it was amazing because I like to make fun of Christian Wood just like any other player on the Rockets. It's just that for their faults. And there's times that Christian Wood likes to play like a wing. And like he likes to play like another California from his area, which is like Paul George, which is like always pulling up with the ball, taking those step back threes like in transition to bring it up, and you're just like groaning like, oh, why, right? But in this game, especially in the third quarter, he was doing it. Everything was clicking. And that the play that really like got me wasn't particularly step back threes, because we know he's a good 3-point shooter, especially in volume. It was the fact that he was driving and bullying guys his size. Do you remember that play where he like brought up the ball and then he drove straight to the rim and then bullied his way to get that layup? That was ridiculous. I was laughing because I was like, you know, for everybody who dislikes Christian Wood, this was probably the game that made all the Christian Wood haters be quiet, or even the Christian Wood doubters to say, let me see here. I wouldn't be mad if he stays another year. Like, we don't need to particularly get rid of him. You know what I mean? But again, with Christian Wood, it's not so much of these hot bursts, right? These bursts of scoring, or even like what he shows on help defense or just defensive games. It's more like being consistent on both ends and doing it, and then people will change their mind. But it was amazing, man. I couldn't believe this guy scored 13 points in the third quarter alone.
It was a performance, yeah, where you, again, you look at it and you say, this is obviously, the talent is absolutely there with Seawood, and he's shown it on display on multiple occasions. But I think you hit the nail on the head right there, Zeke, is it's the consistency part of it where, yeah. Right? And maybe it's a little unfair to Seawood, right? He rolled into a situation last year with the Rockets with, you know, the James Harden drama and all that, signed up to be on a team with Harden and Russ, and then all that, you know, breaks down. But, you know, there was an expectation, a bar kind of set, you know, for what Christian Wood was supposed to be. And because Rockets fans latched onto him last season is like, oh, he's our new franchise guy type thing. Like, you know, they put a lot of weight on his shoulders. And now with the rebuild in full swing with Jalen Green here, with the rest of the young guys here, you know, Christian Wood kind of finds himself in no man's land, right? Is he going to be a part of the future? Is he not? And when he has these explosive performances like this, it really does make you think, man, like, yeah, this guy is so talented. Like, you almost want to find a way to make sure that he can be a part of the future. And then you think, well, but then how do you make him work alongside Alper and Şengün? And then what happens if you draft a big this next year? And it's one of those where I've resigned myself to the fact that Seawood is a very, very talented player. I think that in this game specifically, his playmaking was on full display. I think it was his best playmaking game of his career because he was so active and looking for guys out of the pick and roll when he had the ball in isolation, driving, like, just, you know, my biggest gripe with Seawood all season long has been he'll drive to the rim and he, like, throws his head down and just, like, tunnel vision straight to the rim. But in this game, he was, like, actively surveying, looking for guys, getting other people involved in the offense. And still doing all the little things, even though he wasn't getting the shots that he probably should have gotten in the fourth quarter down the stretch of this game. He was still defending at a high level, still running the offensive sets the way that he needed to for Jalen, for KPJ, all of that. And, you know, it's unfortunate that Jalen had that one really great play, that pick and roll drive where they ran that empty side action and they got all the way to the rim and Jalen dished it off to Seawood, and Seawood kind of shuffled his feet before getting up for the for the dunk attempt. And that would have been a huge bucket down the stretch of the game. But unfortunately, it was a travel call instead. Just didn't go the Rockets' way. But I do think, like, it's just one, you know, it's tough to envision a future, even after a game like this where Seawood is still, you know, a big part of the Rockets' future. And I think, if anything, this kind of game, you look at it and you're like, man, it's going to, like, this is the kind of game you're going to be able to point to when the Rockets are maybe trying to move Seawood this offseason, right? Because they're going to have to open up some space for a Chet Holmgren or a Jabari Smith or a Paolo Banchero, depending on what direction they want to go in the draft. And I think it just becomes really hard to try and factor Seawood into that future.
Listen, I mean, I'll say like this, where I looked at Stat Muse, right, said that, okay, Christian Wood game last night, right? And this is quoting from StatMuse. 32 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He's the first Rockets big since Hakeem Olajuwon. That's ridiculous. Even if you try to paint it and say, well, this is a different era now, that is still ridiculous. You don't see many people come up with those type of stat lines. And it's one of those things where you just have to say, wait, hold on now. What do we have here with him? Because at the end of the day, yeah, he may be year 6, but he's played most of his career in the G League or sitting in behind the bench. So he's like a glorified sophomore in the NBA. So is this, you kind of have to play it out, right? But hey, even with that being said, you know that StatMuse tweet, you know he retweeted it.
So yeah. He's like,
I mean, shout out to him. He's shameless. I mean, for retweeting his own tweet in a loss, right, about like his stat line. But, you know, shout out to him though. Listen, if your team won 17 games, you don't have much to play for either. So you might as well like let everybody know that you're still stunning on these hoes. You know what I mean? So,
hey, you know, and too, like, I think that the other side of this game, right, when you look at, you know, what the Pacers were able to do damage wise in this game, you look at Goga Bitadze, who had a career night, didn't miss a single shot, 9 of 9 from the floor, had 23 points, 9 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, a block, like, you know, playing like, you know, prime Wilt out there for stretches of this game, looked unstoppable on the glass. And then you had Jalen Smith off the bench for the Pacers, their backup big, 17 points, 8 of 9 shooting, 10 boards. And this has been a very concerning kind of recurring theme with the Rockets, where opposing bigs have had their way. They're getting career nights against the Houston Rockets. And I do think a chunk of that blame does fall on Christian Wood and situationally at times, right, Alper and Şengün, the Rockets' bigs. However, you know, because of the way that the Rockets run things with their defensive schemes, I had the chance to ask Christian Wood about this because they were running a switch scheme, right? And so when they're doing that, you've got C. Wood, you know, switching the guards and wings out there on the perimeter, and then you have guys like Bitaze or Smith able to crash the glass inside because there's no other size in there. And C. Wood was really like, he, you know, I asked him if it was frustrating, right? Seeing, you know, his guards, his wings, you know, being out rebounded down low while he's like out on the perimeter contesting shots, because that's just the scheme that they're running. He said it is frustrating, but he highlighted the fact that the Rockets have so many athletes, so many dogs, so many, you know, capable players that they just weren't doing the job of like getting into the body of the defender or of the offensive player, right? You know, hitting them first, boxing out early, doing the dirty work, you know, sooner to be able to, you know, keep them off the glass, right? You go back to the bucket that Bitaze got late in this game, one opportunity.
I don't like talking about that.
It is tough, right? And that's just unfortunately that doesn't fall on C. Wood. And I think that unfortunately he's caught some strays because people will just look at the box score and be like, oh, Bitaze had 23-9. That's Christian Wood's fault. And it's like, well, no, like a couple of the possessions, yeah, but in this game overall, I thought C. Wood did a decent job in this game actually kind of holding his own when he was in the paint, you know, and that's not usually the occurrence. Is sometimes we'll see C. Wood kind of getting bodied down low, but in this one, he was switched out on the perimeter a lot, and that's where Bitaze and Smith did a lot of their damage.
Right. I think, so with me, so majority of the problem with this team is just that we just don't communicate enough on defense, right? And Wood basically stole the words of our mouths before we started recording, right? We have a lot of guys that have the tools to play defense. KPJ, you know, they say 6'4", he's actually 6'6", but we're not going to argue with Adam Silver, right? We can't do that. But the point is like in point guards, as a registered point guard, he's one of the better players when it comes to, you know, I think when I last checked, he gets about 1.2. which is fairly high. Like, he's active. You have Tate, who's really active with charges drawn. Even his defensive field goal percentage is really good when I last checked. Like, we have people that make games chaotic, right? And as for when your team is, I don't want to say tanking because it's not politically correct, but let's just say when they're awful, right? But the point is, is just that, like, you know, when you now tell somebody like Wood to play the five, his value on defense to play against big guys is to be a help defender. He's just too slight to go cover his man one-on-one. He can, but it's usually for nothing. It's usually like me and my godson playing basketball against each other on the Fisher Price hoop. When I post him up, he has no chance. He can try all he wants, but he has no chance. But I think the problem is here is that when we now switch, when Wood gets caught in a switch, Wood is not really good with pick and roll defense. And what he just does, he just goes and defaults to like a perimeter player, which he's really good at because he can move laterally. But then what ends up happening is that Tate doesn't switch over, or let's just say nobody calls out what's going on. We get master classes from the Zubox, the Bitazes, the Smiths, every single big you can think of, or even a big that can shoot threes, which is what we saw yesterday, is just our worst day. Like, it is just not good. So, I mean, honestly, my hope is that, I mean, I've already given up on this season because the season's about to end in 3 weeks, so there's nothing Sides can do about it. But my hope is next season is just that we refine what we do on defense. Because, again, our team is really young. Young teams don't really play defense. They're usually an all-offense thing. So it is what it is. But the communication thing is what kills me. Because like OG on Safe Spaces would say, it's like, I can negotiate everything, but not effort. Right? And they're just out there running around. It's sickening to watch.
No, I love that message. And I do think that at times it's, you know, I don't want to say it's not necessarily for lack of effort, because I do think the effort right. is there sometimes, but the communication, absolutely. At times you see the lapses, the low man doesn't rotate over, they get mixed up in pick and roll coverages, or if they're switching or not switching on certain players. And so that is something that you hopefully want to see ironed out this offseason going into next season. And a big part of that is these, you said it yourself, right? This is a young team. Young teams aren't known for playing defense, and you know, I don't envy Steven Silas and the job of trying to teach these guys how to play defense as a cohesive unit. But if there's one area, silver lining, we've seen guys make individual strides as defenders, right? KPJ has made, you know, leaps and bounds as a defender, you know, as a one-on-one, you know, man-to-man defender. Jalen Green, completely different from where he is now to where he was in the early part of the season as a defender. And it's about, you know, taking those strengths, those individual strengths, and molding it into a true team defense, getting them used to like identifying schemes and sets and that kind of thing. But coming up, we want to dive into just final thoughts from this game concerning, we got to still talk about Alperen Şengün, because he had a really impressive night off the Rockets bench. We might also circle back to a little bit of Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., some of the other highlights from this game that we haven't gotten to quite just yet. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar, because look, when it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar. They're the number one protein bar on the market. They've got so many amazing flavors to choose from: raspberry, strawberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, the goat Built Bar, coconut brownie chunk. You can't go wrong with any flavor, though. Every bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're in a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back, lose a little bit of weight. And you could check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best-tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Final thoughts on this Rockets-Pacers game. And we're going to go to Alperen Şengün here now, because Alpi had a really impressive performance off the bench for the Rockets in this one. He had 15 points, 4 of 9 shooting, missed all 3 of his threes, unfortunately, but he was getting to the foul line at just an elite rate. We've seen it time and time again where Alpi just befuddles opposing bigs using his array of spins, shakes, twists, turns, the patience, all of that to get them in foul trouble. Made it to the free throw line 8 times, sunk 7 of them. He had 4 boards, and he had 3 blocks in this game. And I honestly, Zeke, I don't know what was more impressive to me in this game. His foul drawing, foul baiting ability, right? The way that he's able to coax opposing bigs into being forced to foul him, just because he gets, you know, the ball such deep positioning, and then he uses his size to back them down. And then he's basically like right under the rim, and he just spins and like throws his shoulder into guys and draws fouls that way. Or his defense in this one, where it really felt like he did a great job of staying vertical, going, you know, straight up and down, not fouling, and you know, actively contesting shots at the rim, walking away with the 3 blocks.
So, you know what? It's crazy, because when we're discussing, like, we have to pick the two to, like, talk about which one we're most impressed. It's like picking your favorite child, right? Picking the two. Because we've always known that Şengün is very crafty, right? But it's another thing watching him and actually doing it. I don't know how he does it, right? It's just, you know, it's just Şengün magic at this point. Like, you just sit there and you just watch and you're just like, oh, wee, look at the magic tricks. You know what
we're
I mean?
We're gonna co-opt it. We're gonna steal it from Mavericks fans. Instead of Luka magic, it's now Şengün magic. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares what happens in Dallas? We're the city of the culture. Those are the city of snobs. So we're fine. I think people would like it. But seriously though, what Şengün did was a masterclass in terms of drawing fouls. He was like one of the leaders for us to break the amount of free throws we actually made and attempted for the season. Because, you know, by the third quarter, we attempted 25. By the end of the game, I think we made about like 28 or 29 free throws. Can you run that back and check?
Yeah, it was 28 of 32, a season high, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he helped make us. Now, it's not only his like accomplishment; it's a team accomplishment. But he helped us look like actual good foul merchants, because we're one of the better. We're one of the teams that gets fouled but cannot convert free throws, right? So the fact that we actually scored that many, made as many free throws while attempting them, is really good. Which is part of the reason why I and I hoped we'll win tonight. But other things happened. But his defense was really good. Like you said, in the beginning of the season, this guy will put him out there and he will just gain fouls in like 3 minutes, right? And it was a question of like, people say, yo, we need him to play. But it's like, if he plays, he's going to foul out anyway. So why not just preserve him and let him figure it out? But the fact that he was able to stay on the floor, understand the verticality rules, gotten better with that, is able to now like move his feet better laterally, able to keep up, and ended up with 3 blocks. That's all you can hope. I think it's like, at this point, I continue to ride this out because Sengun is special. And I remember somebody looked up his like per 36 for his rookie season. It's comparable to Sabonis and Baby's Sabonis, because I want to clarify, and Jokic, right? This is what you have on your hands. This is the type of guy that I wouldn't give up just yet, right? Which is why I understand the Chet hype. But I know that Chet can play another position, but I'm kind of just like, you know what? I'm more on the Jabari wave, just in the sense that let's figure out what we have as Sengun and keep on putting it out. But I'm fine with either one. Point is, Sengun, if we let him play and figure things out, he'll blossom into that center that you can believe in to help a team get to a championship.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at the top prospects in the draft, that's why I still have, you know, Jabari. I mean, I'm really on the Jabari hype train as well, but I also look, you know, a little bit as far as like the fit with this current Rockets team, and that's why I'm, you know, also really intrigued by Jabari, because I think he's the guy that you slot in right next to Sengun, and you're like, that's just a seamless fit right there. I think you can maybe make, you know, a Sengun Holmgren front court also work, but I don't think it's nearly as fluid as with, you know, as what it would look like with Jabari, but
it's not as
obvious. Yeah, there you, I think that's probably the right way to look at it. But you know, elsewhere from this game, you know, this was one where it was filled with, you know, so many different really high quality highlights. I mean, we had KPJ really early in this game hit the Pacers with the Rondo finish at the rim, which I've always equated this to the Rajon Rondo, right? Because he's the guy, I feel like he made it like a staple to where he was using it in his bag, like at least once a night, the behind the back, like fake where he like reaches the arm, like all the way back here to make it look like a behind the back pass is happening and then scoops it back up. And he did it with his offhand was the really impressive part, right? Like Scoot's a lefty and he did that with his right hand, which was so impressive. I mean, that highlight had me like almost jumping out of my seat. It was, I definitely let out an audible, like, oh my God, the moment he pulled it off in game. And then not only that, later in the game, Zeke, we had the Showtime Rockets in full effect, which is where I thought they were going to win this game. And that was KJ Martin and Jalen Green in transition. And it kind of looked like Jalen wanted to hit KJ with the lob pass. And it was just a little bit too early. And so then KJ returned the favor and lofted it right up at the rim. And Jalen, I mean, he went up there and threw it down. Like, Jalen, I will never get tired of Jalen Green lob dunk, Zeke.
Listen, I can never get tired of watching these kids thrive, man. It's like, so like with KPJ, like when he, let me start with KPJ. When he did the Rondo thing, that made me smile because on Spaces, like, you know, it's been a big deal. Not even on Spaces, just on Rockets Twitter or just, like, the discussion around the Rockets is, KPJ, is he the future at point guard, right? And I always tell people that he could be. His vision or passing has to improve. He needs to be quicker with his actions and put the defense on its heels. He always has to attack because he has a problem where he likes to, he likes to dribble a lot and stop the ball and instead of getting together. But he can finish at the rim, shoot threes really well. Problem is, getting to the rim is a different thing because he's not the most craftiest guy, right? But the fact that he's adding the Rondo to his bag, which is great because someone like Rondo is somebody who he should watch. Rondo throughout his whole career was not a shooter at all, but he still was able to mitigate the defense by his craftiness of how to get to the rim with his off-foot layups, laying up with both hands, doing the Rondo, these other things. And the fact is that if you can do that to leverage the defense, then everything else just becomes easier, right? So I was really impressed and happy that he can do that, and I hope to see more from him. And as for Jalen Green and KJ, man, what else is there to be said? I haven't seen things like that since when I was a child playing on my starts playing with the game breakers. You know how it is when they when you do the game breaker with the two triggers,
yeah,
they hit the ball to each other, and then they do double lobs, and then they do ridiculous dunks. Like, that play should have been worth 5 points, in my opinion, alone.
It was for me, I think it was the highlight of the game. Absolutely. I mean, Toyota Center was rocking after that lob. It was great to see. It was awesome to see live in person. And yeah, it's just really exciting to be able to cheer for this young Rockets team. You could sell, I mean, everybody was so hyped right after that. You could see KJ running straight up to Jalen. You know, he was, and that's the cool thing, right? Is you see these guys, like, they create opportunities for each other, and they're just as hyped to see one of their brothers score as they are to get the bucket themselves. And I think that's the really cool right. thing about this team. They're bought in. They want to see each other succeed. And, you know, it obviously the season hasn't gone the way that any of them would have wanted, but it kind of matches the expectations for a rebuild. But the future is really, really bright for this Rockets team. Now, I got a couple more throw-ins that I want to toss in here. Just KPJ, his stat line, you know, had the 19 points, 7 of 14 shooting, had 4 assists, had 1 turnover, 3 of 6 from the 3-point line. His 3-point shooting continues to be really, really impressive. And I think that, in addition to his improved defense, has been like a staple part of his game, right? If he can be, you know, essentially a 3-and-D type point guard, which he's kind of turning into a 3-and-D type point guard, then I think he's going to definitely, you know, have a role, you know, as a point guard for the foreseeable future, whether it's, you know, for this Rockets organization or somewhere else. If he can hit threes at a high clip and play high level defense, that is extremely sought after at the NBA level. And then Jalen Green in this one, finished with the 20 points, 6 of 15 shooting, was getting to the foul line, though. In the last 5 games before this one, Jalen was averaging a little over 20 points a night, hadn't been to the free throw line more than 3 times in any one of those games. And in this one, he made it there 7 times. Now, he unfortunately didn't get there enough in the second half. He made all 7. That was huge as well. He got there 6 times in the first half, only had the 1 attempt in the second half. So you'd like to see that be a little bit more consistent across the board, where, you know, he's not, you know, leveraging all of his, you know, foul, you know, free throw merchant weight in one half. But it was nice to see the change of pace, him actually get kind of a favorable whistle in this game for the first time in a long time, it feels like. But Zeke, I before we get you out of here, I got to know, because I want to know about the Rocket Safe Spaces, which if you haven't checked them out on Twitter, you absolutely have to. They're up after every single game, hosted by Zeke, hosted by Don, Paolo, Brad, and Will. Which, Zeke, it's like it's almost like I'm collecting Infinity Stones like Thanos, because you're the last of the Safe Spaces host that I've had here on LOR. I'm going to have to go make a Thanos meme after this episode airs. But,
man, I love that.
Share with me your favorite moment from the Spaces this season.
Man, there's so many. I would say my favorite was when we had over 1,000 people. It was around, did we reach 17 game losing streak, or was it 16?
Not this season. 15 was the max this season, but I think it was, 15, I do remember, right. It was the peak of the losing streak. There were about 1,000 some odd people in that space.
Oh my goodness. That one was hilarious. And I remember this one person came in and said, "You guys are circle jerking Silas." And I'm like, "Wait, hey, yo, what?" Like, you know, like, man, that night was a wild night. And then, like, one of my guys, his name is DJ, and he called Kelly to come in. It's like, explain yourself. It was a ridiculous night. And, you know, like, man, that was one of the funniest nights to me. And I think that's what the part that I love about the Spaces is more so you get to like engage with actual fans, right? Because we could talk about the Rockets all we want, but reality is we're not the Lakers. We're not the Celtics. Like, we're not these big box brands. Like, we are a historic brand to the NBA. We have 2 championships. We have garnered, you know, such bigs in basketballs and some of the most entertaining wing and guard players, but we're just not those teams because they won 18 and 17 championships. So they have a lot of bandwagoners. So like the fact that we're able to use Al Gore's internet to go and connect with everybody from all over the world to just do stuff is so fun. So it's amazing. We just everyone is amazing. And another part that made me laugh was when we went on that 7-game winning streak, this one person said, hey, yo, we need to get our play, take them to Bissonnette Drive. We need to get at them some expletive tonight. I was like, hey, yo, what? You can't do that. That's not good. At least say treasures. At least say real life. Not this and that drive. We're not trying to get them to go to jail. You know?
The spaces are a wild, fun place. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, great individuals that share insight, humor, jokes. I mean, if you haven't checked them out, you absolutely do have to swing by. If you've got a Twitter account, just again, go follow Zeke. It's just Zeke on Twitter, or follow any of the other guys that have been on this show. Will, Brad, Paolo, Don. Go check out the spaces after every Rockets game. They're a ton of fun. But Zeke, before we get you out of here officially, the Rockets did lose a game, and as is tradition, we got to do a tankathon spin to wrap up the show. So I'm gonna bust out the tankathon.
I don't mind. The Rockets need to be like Rolexes, be like sea dwellers. We need to be at the bottom. That's what we need to do.
Well, at the bottom, they are indeed. Unfortunately, this is the worst spin that I've had so far. Rockets dropped from the number one spot all the way down to pick number five. And guess who? But Oklahoma City jumps up to the number one pick. So the top five in order.
That's rigged.
Oklahoma City, Orlando Magic, Sacramento Kings, Indiana Pacers at number four, Rockets at number five. Oh, okay.
This is unacceptable. I demand a respin.
Right? Stop the count. This is awful. No. You know, stop the steal. Anyways, so all right, we got to roll with this, unfortunately, because them's the rules. So, all right, okay. Well, let's take for OKC number one overall. Let's go. I'll do the four, and then I'll give you the Rockets pick. So let's go. I'll tell you what. Let's go. Paolo Banchero number one to OKC. Let's go. Chet Holmgren to the Orlando Magic. Let's go. Jabari Smith to Sacramento. Let's go. Jaden Ivey to Indiana. You take it away now, Zeke. You've got the Rockets on the board. Pick number five. Who you going? I had to clear the other four off the board, unfortunately.
Oh man. Could we come up with the idea that we can trade the Brooklyn? What is a Brooklyn pick?
No, we're not gonna get that convoluted with this. It's just who's on the board at number five. Who are you trying to draft right now? Is it gonna be? I mean, we talking. We're gonna go what? Shaedon Sharpe? We're gonna go AJ Griffin? We're gonna go Keegan Murray? Maybe like. Anyway, if it shook out that way, I wouldn't be upset with AJ Griffin at number five. Like if it like worst either. Case scenario, like
I wouldn't either. But I'm when things don't go your way, I'm kind of the upside person, so I think I'll take Shaedon Sharpe.
Okay.
I've seen a couple of highlights from him. He's 6'6", decent wingspan, jumps. This is my thing. Is it's like we have so many guards, and like so it's gonna be one of those situations like what to do. But the thing is about like any place you work at, the NBA is the same thing. It's a dog eat dog world. You have to take advantage of your opportunities. You have to work for everything. Nothing is guaranteed. And when you're rebuilding, that's the same thing you have to take. So I think I'll sit with the Shaedon Sharpe move.
All right, Shaedon Sharpe at number five to the Houston Rockets with the worst draft spin that I've had so far this season. Zeke, it was an absolute pleasure to finally get you on the show. Do me a favor, let our listeners know where they can track you down at.
Oh, yeah, definitely follow me on Twitter. Definitely follow me on Twitter. It's just Zeke. We do the Rocket Safe Spaces up there. Yeah, the vibes are immaculate, man. I used to listen to this podcast like before the pandemic. I was working at Best Buy, working in the grave shift, coming in work at 5, 6 a.m., so, like, to be here, man, all I got to say is the vibes of the immaculate, and the mama made it.
Oh, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you stopping by the show, Zeke. It was a ton of fun.
Same here. Same here. You got to come to Safe Spaces, man. I know, like, you're working because you have credentials, but during the summer, you know, you have a bit more time. You could come and hang with the crazy people. You can talk about organic learning. You know what I mean?
I'll make sure to swing by and make it a point to stop into some more of the safe spaces, especially this upcoming summer when there aren't games and when I'm not doing the post-game media availabilities. But Zeke, pleasure. Thanks for stopping by, man.
No problem. I'll definitely love to come another time.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed our breakdown, Rockets, Pacers. The vibes were indeed immaculate. Got to drop that line in there one more time for my guy, Zeke. But if you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check out the show on YouTube. Search Locked On Rockets on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, all of that. What was your favorite moment from this Rockets-Pacers game? How did you feel about the final play with KPJ taking the last shot? Let me know in the YouTube comments. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.